Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. And I want to speak to you today about a man who found the blessed life. His name was Zacchaeus. He found the blessed life. And if you're to just look at his life from the outside, you might think that he was blessed in verse 1 because he was a very wealthy man. But in reality, he was not blessed, even though he had a lot of money. So that's a very good opening thought to just this whole series when we talk about the blessed life. If I were to ask you, do you have a blessed life? What would you say? Yes, no, not sure, maybe, depends on the day. Oh, man, yeah. So we want to dive into this word blessed. What does it mean? It's all throughout the Bible. In fact, the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, it says that God blessed his creation. He blessed it. In fact, every day of creation, he blessed it, called it good. He blessed the people, blessed the people that he created. And then very shortly, in fact, a couple chapters later, chapter 3, the enemy came in, the enemy of darkness, the devil came in and contaminates life for all humanity. So humanity goes from having a blessed life to having a corrupted life. And it went through very many years of darkness. But thankfully, God loves us. And God redeems us, right? Jesus comes into the world to redeem us and bring a blessed life back to us. And here's the good news. We can live a blessed life before we die and go to heaven, right? We can live a life on this broken planet, even though it's difficult and dark. We can have a blessed life now. But what would that look like? What does it mean to be blessed? What does it look like practically? What should I feel? What should I do? Well, these are all great questions. And this story in Luke chapter 19 helps us understand it. It says, Luke 19, 1, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through town. So Jesus was going through Jericho from the eastern regions into Jerusalem. And Jericho was a gateway city into the Holy Land. So he was going through Jericho. And it says in verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the what? Chief tax collector. Somebody say chief. Chief of all the tax collectors, he was the chief. In fact, this is the only place in the Bible it talks about anyone being the chief tax collector. It was him. And he had become very rich. So let me just tell you a little bit about being a tax collector. Even in 2022, I don't think anyone here loves a tax collector, right? Like, no one here is like, IRS, thank God for IRS. Man, we love you. No one says that because IRS is collecting money from you, and it seems like it's getting more and more. In fact, Erica has a small business now, and so now we're paying quarterly taxes, and we had to write a check this week for taxes, and I was like, oh, painful, right? In that day and time, it was the same. No one liked the tax collectors, but these were Jews working for the Roman government, and the Roman government, Caesar, would allow these Jewish tax collectors to take their own cut. So they would collect taxes and send it to Rome, but then these tax collectors could add their own percentage into it, and so they were basically extorting money out of the people. The Jews hated these Jewish tax collectors because they were taking money and it felt like they were sellouts to the Roman government. Like, how could you be doing this? You're one of us. How could you be doing this and taking our stuff and sending it to Rome and then gouging us with your own, tax on top of the tax? So these tax collectors were really like a mafia or a cartel in that people hated them. They didn't like it. And it says that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. Like, he was the worst of all of them. And it says he had become very wealthy. He had become very wealthy because of this behavior. Verse 3, he tried to get a look at Jesus. So Jesus is coming through town. Zacchaeus knows this. Now, this sentence seems so simple, but I want you to think about how profound it really is. We learn that Zacchaeus is very wealthy, but we also learn the next sentence that he wants to see Jesus. So this tells us that something is drawing him to Jesus. Something in his heart, something in his persona is needing to be connected to Jesus. So this is a very, very important aspect of the story. And I just want to stop and say, I know that there's people in this crowd today, great crowd today, people watching online, that you would like to get a view of Jesus in your life. You are needing Jesus to look at you. Look, you know, and maybe there's parts of your life that are good. Like this guy was very wealthy, but he is drawn to go see Jesus. And I know that it's more than just Jesus being a celebrity. It's more than just like, hey, there's this famous guy coming through town. Let's all go see him. There's something in Zacchaeus' heart that is longing to be connected to Jesus. He wanted to see him because it says he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. And I was talking to one of my friends and one of the other ministers in town this week about me speaking on Zacchaeus. And he, along with everybody else that I tell that I'm going to talk about Zacchaeus, says, well, you must relate to Zacchaeus. He was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree beside the road. How many of y'all remember? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the... Yeah, I went to Sunday school. All right, good job. He ran and climbed up in the sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Jesus was going to pass that way. He ran ahead. This is a beautiful imagery to get in your head of this man that is desperate to see Jesus, so much so that he pushes past the excuses. And that's, I want you to just think about this building being a sycamore tree. This, you pushed past the excuses. Some of you knew that the Cowboys were playing at noon, so you had to get to the early service to make sure you got here. And this service is a lot more people than it did last week, and I bet the 11:30 is a little smaller. But anyway, you push through the excuses, and you got up in the tree, and I have good news for you today. Jesus is here. Jesus is here, and you can encounter him. You can encounter Jesus in this environment, this place where Jesus is. You've pushed past the shortcomings of your life, and you are here today, and I'm just excited about that because Jesus is here. Verse 5, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he called him by name. So all of a sudden, the scene stops. The parade stops. The crowd stops. And Jesus basically pushes people out of the way and points up to the tree. And not only does he look at this man, and he doesn't just say, hey, guy, he knows his name. And I want you to know that Jesus knows your name, and Jesus cares about you, and Jesus loves you, and he wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you, and he's thankful that you've made a move. It's like a dance, really, like Jesus was born in the world, then Zacchaeus pushes through and makes his presence known in the tree. And then Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Jesus makes a move on Zacchaeus. I want to be with you. I want to go home with you. And that's maybe the most important message I want you to get here today, is that Jesus wants to go home with you today. He doesn't want to just meet you at church on Sundays. He wants to go home with you. He wants to be with you. He knows you. He loves you. He likes you. And he wants to go home with you today. And look what happens when Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. Verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people, the people were displeased. The people were displeased. Who were these people that were displeased? Well, they were the people that were religious, that believe that, you know, we have to check certain boxes and we have to do certain things and all this, you know, habitual habit kind of religious kind of things. And they were displeased because, Jesus is going home with Zacchaeus? What? How could you lower yourself to go home with this sinner, this crook, this chief tax collector? How could Jesus, who's so perfect and so pure, go with him? These people were displeased. And I just hope everybody in here will grasp this idea, even if there's the people in Promised Land today. Maybe there's a few people in here today that struggle in your context with Jesus because you always feel like you're letting Jesus down, or you're not good enough, or maybe you are good enough, but everyone around you is not good enough. This story is for you as well. This is really, really, really good. The people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of this notorious sinner. They grumbled, just like, how could this? Meanwhile, verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. This is lunchtime, okay? They're at the house, and this took a while. Jesus was at the house for a while. They went, I'm sure they had a meal together, and this was not like, hey, let's grab some Chick-fil-A on the way to Zacchaeus' house and go eat. No, they probably killed an animal. They probably had a, you know, cooking process. And so over this time, as Jesus is there, Zacchaeus encounters the Savior of the world. Zacchaeus encounters the presence of the Lord. Jesus comes into his life, into his home, and look what happens to him. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Incredible transformation happening here. There's a shift that happened in Zacchaeus' life where he goes from being a collector to being a distributor. It's a very important transformation happening in Zacchaeus' life. He goes from being one that accumulates and acquires and hoards and saves to one that says, I'm going to give half of it away off the top. And then if I've failed or hindered anyone or stolen or cheated anyone, I'm going to give them back four times. Think about, this is such a drastic change from this man before the tree experience, after the tree, when Jesus comes to his house. And then here we see him with this declaration. How does Jesus respond to that? Jesus says in verse 9, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. Jesus says something very, very interesting here. He says, salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Now, a little mini history lesson. Abraham was the very first Jew. God declares over Abraham, you're the father of many nations. I'm going to bless you. Your kids are going to be blessed. Those kids, the generations are going to be blessed after you, Abraham. So anyone born in the genealogy of Abraham, just because of their blood history, is a genetic Jew and a son of Abraham because they've been born in that. So Zacchaeus was born a Jew, and some of you might say, well, yeah, he's a son of Abraham because he was born a Jew. But Jesus says, no, salvation has come today to this house. Jesus says something that's very interesting, very distinct. Today you are a son of Abraham. There's even though he has the genetic bloodline to be a son of Abraham, because he says salvation has come to this home today, for you have shown to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. He went to someone's house who was lost, Zacchaeus. He was a lost Jew, and he's saying, now you are a son. Now you're in the family. And you might think, well, how did he become a part of the family? How did Zacchaeus become a son of Abraham now, today? How did salvation come? Did it come because he changed his behavior? Like, well, now he's giving to the poor. He's giving four times back to those who he's cheated. So now salvation has come because he's done those things. He's went through the process. And I'm here to tell you really good news. That is not why salvation came to his house. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house because Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house. That salvation is not a process, but salvation is a person. This is super important. Write this down. These are on your notes. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is a person. Once you get this revelation, you have a love and an affection for Jesus much more than if you follow a religion. A religion says you need to go through these processes and then you'll get to God. What Christianity says is that Jesus is the process, that Jesus already checked off all the boxes that everybody needs to check off. And if Jesus comes into your house, guess what? Salvation is coming to your house. And you don't have to keep living your life over and over checking off boxes and like, oh, wait, did I check that box today? I can't remember if I checked that box today. Like, all of that process that's so heavy and so difficult, Jesus has accomplished it already. So our main emphasis today is saying yes to Jesus. Jesus, come be with me today. Come into my home. And guess what? When he comes into your home, he makes his presence known. And something happens life to your life. It's transformational, just like Zacchaeus' life was transformed in this situation. And literal things began to change in his life. Because his heart has changed. Because Jesus is there with him now. The Savior of the world is in his home. Now, there may be some of you here today that you've invited Jesus into your home, into your heart, or whatever. But there's certain rooms. He hasn't been there yet, right? He says, that's kind of, Jesus, you're in this room. I got other things going on in this room. It's time to let Jesus in every room of the house, every part of your heart, every compartment, and just allow the Savior of the world to do a work in your life that only he can do. Only he can do. He changes this man from being a taker to being a giver. Zacchaeus enters into a blessed life because the Savior of the world is now a part of his life. He becomes a blessed man. Not because he's got more money. Look, I mean, like, if you're to look at Zacchaeus' bottom line, he was actually, his net worth went down from a financial standpoint when he was more blessed. Like when he met Jesus, money went out instead of money coming in. So he was living a blessed life not because of a financial situation or family situation or whatever. It was a perspective change that he had of like, I am believing that God is my provider. I'm believing that God is the biggest giver. I'm believing that there's a different way of living that is so much more freeing than instead of trying to acquire or to hoard or to save everything for myself and living with a closed-fisted mindset, that when Jesus comes into my life and he gives so much to me, it is such a natural process for me to give because I understand that I have been given so much. So now my natural response is to be like the one that's transformed me, to be like God. God is so amazing. God changes everything. Here's another scripture in Acts, the 20th chapter and the 35th verse. Paul was talking to some people in Ephesus. He's about to leave Ephesus, and he's been there for 3 years. He's invested his life in it. He's getting a pretty heavy, you know, leaving speech, talking about all these things that are going to happen. And he leaves them with, like, okay, if you don't remember anything else, classic pastor thing to say. This is Acts 20 and 35. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's more blessing. The blessed life is living like God, being a giver instead of just a receiver. There's more. The word there in Greek is makarios. There's more blessing. There's more blessing to give than to receive. A blessed life comes. Write this down. A blessed life comes when I encounter Jesus and I become like him. The blessed life is all about us encountering Jesus, Jesus coming into our life, and then our life becoming like him. That's the blessed life. Jesus lived a blessed life, and he was murdered. The apostles and the prophets of the New Testament lived a blessed life, and they were martyred. So it's not about like this scoreboard of who's the most successful and who's got the most followers and who's got the most money or who's the most well-liked in San Marcos or your job or Texas State or wherever. Those kind of things do not define the blessed life. The blessed life is Jesus coming into my home and then my life being transformed because Jesus has come into my home and I'm becoming more like him. So this is how repentance is revealed in Zacchaeus. We know that Zacchaeus has a heart for God and been affected by the power of Jesus because he has two things, and these are on your notes as well. There's a change in his action, and there's a change in his attitude. Zacchaeus is transformed and is living the blessed life. We can see that. Why? Because his actions have changed. His actions have changed in that he's saying, I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to bless those who I've hurt. And so that's action. And then this attitude change about my life is so different now. The attitude adjustment, the attitude change that happens in Zacchaeus' life. And it's because he is being changed from the inside out by the presence of Jesus. Remember, this is super important. That salvation did not come to Zacchaeus because he was like, you know what? I got to do things different. I need a better action plan. Here are the 7 ways to have a blessed life. Here's the 7 things I need to do to have a better attitude. And if I have a better attitude and I change these things, then I'll have a blessed life. That's not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is Jesus come home with me. Jesus, come to my dorm. Jesus, come to my apartment. Jesus, come to my neighborhood. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. And I'm believing if you come into my life, if you come into my heart, if you come into my way of life, my persona, my just everything, every part of me, if you're coming into that, then I know that there's going to be a change in me, and I welcome that, whatever that looks like. If you were to boil the Bible down into one sentence, a sentence has a couple important things, a verb, but then you have who's doing the verb. So if you were to boil down the Bible into one sentence, the most simple sentence, the subject of the sentence is God. God is the main character of the Bible and the main character of the world. So God, what does God do? What is the verb of God? God gave. God gives. All throughout the Bible, God gives. God, and the word in there that you could interchange is love. In fact, the scripture that everybody repeats over and over, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he was generous. He gave. That's the open hand of God that he gave. There's some people that may struggle with this. And if you struggle being a generous person, you're not a weirdo or satanic or anything like that. You're just human, okay? I have struggled in this area myself of having an open hand. And really, if you have a problem giving or being generous, you probably don't have a giving problem or a generosity problem. You actually probably have a receiving problem. You don't really understand how much God is giving you. When you understand how much God is giving you, then all of a sudden there is an awareness and a freedom and a peace about then opening your hand and say, wow, who am I to hoard? Who am I to collect? When God has given me so much, it is my privilege, it is my honor to now live with an open hand. So let's just pray right now. Would you join with me? Let's pray right now that God would be welcome in our homes, that God would be welcome in our lives. I don't know what kind of situation you got going on in your health, your house, or your marriage, your family, your finances, or whatever. Like, there's pieces of your life that you would like to be, quote, blessed. Maybe you're watching online right now and you're struggling in another country. I'm here to tell you today, no matter where you are in the world or where you are in life, that the solution is the same. And the solution has a name. It's Jesus. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is the solution. Jesus has completed the process. And so, let's call on him now. Let's call on the name of Jesus. Let's call on the healer, the redeemer, the savior, the Messiah. Jesus, we call on you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much for coming to this planet. You know, the people were criticizing Jesus for going to Zacchaeus' home. But in reality, you coming to earth was much more insulting than going to Zacchaeus' house. Lord, we recognize that. You're pure and you're holy and you're perfect. And you're awesome, Jesus. But you love us and you know us by name. And you know all the details about our life, Lord Jesus. So we just welcome you. We welcome you into San Marcos. We welcome you into Hayes County. Why don't you just welcome Jesus into your neighborhood right now? Welcome him into your home. Welcome him into your marriage. Just declare with your own mind, your own heart, your own mouth right now, Jesus, I welcome you into my home. I welcome you into Eric and I's marriage. I welcome you into Kennedy's life, Jude's life, and Avery's life. Come on, Jesus. Come on in. Come on in. We want everything to be exposed to the salvation of Jesus. Lord, I'm excited to know what you're going to do in people's lives when you go into them and go into their lives and go make your presence known. Come on, Jesus. Come on, be with us, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word that we can find truth in, that it's not just, you know, good advice or a parable, but this is true historical fact, Jesus, that you came to this planet for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming to this earth for us and then willingly taking on our sin and taking on our problems, so that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus today shall be saved. So would anybody in here join with me? Come on, let's join together right now. Just say, Jesus, I welcome you in. Please forgive me of my sin. I surrender my heart to you today. I surrender my family to you today. I surrender my degree plan to you today. Come on, let's surrender everything to him. My parenting, my finances, my business, my occupation, my health, my body, every part of me, Lord, I surrender to you. And I just say, have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means, have your way with me, Jesus. God, if there's areas in our lives that you start convicting us and start encouraging us to change, Lord, let's be responsive to that and obedient to that and not be afraid of it, but trust you in the process, Lord. There's people that are listening right now that have been urged by the Holy Spirit, urged by God to maybe shift a behavior, change behavior that may seem daunting, but let's learn from Zacchaeus. No, we jump in all the way. Jumping in all the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being there for us, God. Thank you for quickening our spirit to show us different aspects of life and how to live and how to move forward in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Now we just say, Holy Spirit, flow through us. Be in this atmosphere, Lord, but we don't want to leave you in this building. We don't want to leave you when we log off. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Holy Spirit. Be with us this week. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll be with us this week in all aspects of our life. In Jesus' name, come on, everybody say amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.